Welcome to the 8th episode of Ask the Water Polo Goalie. If this is your first time listening, my name is Glenn Bush. I'm an assistant coach at UCSD. And as you can guess, my primary focus is coaching the goalies. I played at UCSD a long time ago. I still play at the master's level, and I've been coaching goalies for almost 20 years now. This podcast is me sharing what I've learned over the years from playing, from studying the game, and from coaching those 20 years. I want the format to be me answering your questions about playing or coaching. If you have a question, you can get it to me two different ways. The easiest way is to email me. That's thewaterpolo@gmail.com. Don't worry about writing it down. I put it down in the show description so you can have access to it. The other way to get to me with your question, and the one I really want to try out, is you can use a link down in the show description where you can share your question through an audio message. In theory, I can pull that audio and use it in the podcast. So if you want to hear your voice on this podcast, then send me an audio message. I actually kind of really want to try it out. In this episode, I'll give you a coaching slash life update from me, since this is usually the start to the water polo season, at least for men's college, boys high school in California, and girls water polo in Northern California. I'll answer the question some coaches may be facing right now. You don't have a goalie, so who should you have play goalie, or what should you do when you don't have a dedicated goalie or a player that wants to give it a shot? So let's get the personal news out of the way. I'm going to be a dad. My girlfriend and I are extremely excited and obviously scared. I'm sure this is a common feeling for all parents when they're expecting their first child. This is both of ours' first child. It's a girl. It's coming a little later in life for us. I just turned 41 and she just turned 40. So better late than never. The issue though is the baby is due October 20th. In a normal college season, this would be right in the middle of the season. I wouldn't be able to travel with the team, or I would need to give it at least a few weeks around the due date because I would need to be there to take her to the hospital and, more importantly, to witness the birth of my first child. So my season was already impacted, and coaching is not my full-time job. I do it mainly for fun, for the connection to the team, to just share what I've learned over the years. Now, the perks were it included some free team gear, obviously some free travel to these games and tournaments. But that free team gear is no longer free. That's thanks to college basketball, specifically Rick Pitino, Louisville, and their assistant coaches. So all that gear actually counts as income, and I have to pay income taxes on those clothes, and some of the gear is just atrocious. But anyways, a new baby, and I have a full-time job. Then coronavirus came. Pregnant women are high risk for the virus, and that goes for basically every virus because their immune system is suppressed while they're pregnant. And at the beginning of the summer, it looked like the fall season was going as planned. So being around a bunch of college athletes that have been living around a bunch of other college students was not going to be the best idea if I was trying to limit my chances of getting exposed to the virus and limiting my chances of bringing it back home. And that goes without saying that travel trips were just completely out of the picture. You know, I'm not going to sit on an airplane forever with who knows who. Now, amidst all this, I was studying for the final level to be a chartered financial analyst, or usually what's called just kind of the CFA. Another thing that I didn't get motivated in life to do until a couple of years ago, so a little bit later in life. But when I found out that we were going to be pregnant, it was perfect timing. It was just hunker down, study, take the test that was supposed to happen back in June, put it behind me, and then enjoy, you know, the last few months of the pregnancy, and then get to enjoy being a new dad. Well, that didn't happen. So now with the delays, I'm aiming for May 2021. So I need to squeeze as much studying in before the baby is born because not a whole lot of studying will get done those first few months after she's born. So add them all up again. We have a pregnant girlfriend, then a new baby that I don't want to get sick, a full-time job, studying as much as I can before the baby is born, and then trying to coach. I mean, it just wasn't going to be able to fit into my schedule. Something had to give, and that was coaching. I decided to take a step back from coaching this fall. It's not a permanent leave, just one season. It gives my girlfriend and I time to adjust being new parents. It gives our baby's immune system a little more time to develop and more time for a potential vaccine or better testing and tracing program so I can feel comfortable going back with the team and traveling with them and doing what I normally did. So stepping back was going to be the plan for this fall, you know, if the season went on as usual. Now it's still the plan, even with the fall season being pushed back to January. And if I'm being honest, it's tough for me to think that college sports happen this year, or at least in any consistent fashion. Things could change with better testing and better contact tracing, but colleges are just time bombed for outbreaks. Getting that many people together just adds too many variables and too many things to try and control to keep the virus from getting into sort of an outbreak in that school. Teams are going to have outbreaks, or at least one or two maybe guys that test positive, and that could disrupt and end the season early for just that individual team. It could also have an end the season for that whole sport. And how do you have conference or national championships if you run the risk of one of the teams having to drop out due to an outbreak? We also have a lot of dysfunction with the pandemic response at a federal, state, and just community level. And to quote the pitcher Sean Doolittle, sports are the reward of a functioning society. I would love to be proven wrong on this because I want to see sports. I know you want to see sports. And more specifically, I want to see our seniors play out a full and satisfying year. But it's just a mess right now, and college sports will be a mess because of that. Let's take a quick break for the show sponsor, and then we'll get on with the second part of the episode. Let's say your season is starting, and you're a coach, and you don't have a goalie. What do you do? I think this issue pops up more with freshmen and JV high school teams. Hopefully it's not happening with the varsity team. But I've seen some college teams play a full season with a field player filling in as goalie, so it's not that unusual. Now, what those college teams did was they took one of their tallest and more athletic players with great legs, and they had them fill in as the goalie. My first year coaching at UCSD, you know, we did this for our backup goalie. We had our starting goalie, but we had no insurance policy. You know, we had no backup. My main role that first year as an assistant coach was to be that second goalie during practice. I like to call it my redshirt year. I just finished grad school and I was taking time off from work and school. So I did all the morning workouts. I did all the afternoon practices with the team. I did everything except playing a game like it was my redshirt year, which I actually never got in college. But for that first season for insurance, we took one of our 2 meter guards, Peter, who is 6'5". He might be a little bit taller than that. He has great legs and he's very athletic. I actually got to coach him back in high school before I was part of the UCSD staff. But at UCSD, for this 1 year, we had him take reps in the goal every now and then, so he would sub me out every bit. And then he would jump into the cage during a scrimmage every so often, too. You know, this is just in case anything happened to the star, which was Jeremy. But for you, you have zero goalies. You know, what should you do? I would first ask the team who wants to play some goalie this year, and tell them that you're looking for four people. Well, why four? Well, this assures the field players that they will also get to play more field than goalie if there are four of them. You know, you need at least two to have a scrimmage during practice, but you also need to get those two goalie converts, you know, you need to get them time in the field during those scrimmages as well. So with four goalie converts, everyone is getting time in the field and everyone's getting enough reps in the goal. Now, if no one volunteers, then it's up to you to make the decision. When making your decision, keep an eye on who you would like to potentially have as the full-time goalie. Because it's possible once the field player starts playing goalie that they find success with it, and they may find out that they really like the position and that they want to become the full-time goalie. Obviously, you want someone on the tall side or has tall parents and should grow. You want someone that's smart, you know, someone who can pick up the position quickly and can transfer their knowledge as a field player to the goalie position. And you want someone with above average legs. It's anecdotal, but when I think back on the field players that do well in the goal during an actual shooting drill, or while playing like five alive, it's the 2 meter guards. They already have strong legs. They're usually smart about the game and how opposing offenses work. They're willing to take a beating, so they're kind of unlikely to finish when someone shoots the ball at them. So maybe look at your 2 meter men, who you think in there could be fill in as a goalie convert. The beauty of the goalie convert is the new funeral should work their way into the high school game. I'm pretty sure this year the college season adopted a lot of the new FINA rules. And one of the big changes is a goalie can go past half and handle the ball like a field player. You know, it's the equivalent of pulling the goalie in hockey. So if you already have a traditional field player in there, you don't need to use a timeout to swap out your goalie with a field player or run with a goalie that doesn't have any field player experience. Now you can go right into a 7-on-6 counterattack if you have a goalie convert in there. So the next thing is you might want to start drawing up how you want to run a lifetime 7-on-6 counterattack. If you're a coach of a freshman team or even a JV team and you do have one or two dedicated goalies, I would still run for four. I would still try to find, you know, those three or two more players to be a goalie convert. It is good for the true goalies to get some field work, especially with those new FINA rules trickling in. Learning to play field and participating in the office only helps their goalie game. It helps their overall conditioning. And maybe you find out that they're a much better field player than a goalie, and it's in both of your interests to switch the goalie to the field and maybe switch a goalie convert to the actual full-time goalie. I would still give the kind of true dedicated goalies more reps in the goal than field, since this is their primary position and the primary position they want to play. And as I said, maybe one of the converts turns out to be the best goalie you have, and now you have the luxury in important games to decide, does the goalie convert better help you in the field or in the cage for that game? I know some coaches put the guy or girl that just can't swim or is the least athletic person on the team, but still wants to be a part of the team in the goal. Please don't do this. Find ways to get these people into games to play the field. The goalie is one of the most important positions. A good guard, a good 2-meter man, and a good goalie, and you're about 90% of the way there for a really strong team. Not a lot of people want to be goalie. The glory is in scoring goals, so it's hard to get those goalie converts to get a better field player or more athletic field player to play goalie. But if you have that player that is not athletic, and you think having them play goalie is the only way to keep them a part of the team, please don't do that again. But if you do put them in the cage, please add other players to rotate through. You want to find the best solutions for you and the team to be competitive and to improve. Putting a really bad player in the goal, and they're going to be a really bad goalie, is not going to make your other field players better shooters during practice, and it's not just going to make them better overall players. It's not going to help your team defense get any better if opposing field players can just pick up the ball from anywhere in the front court and score at will. And it's also going to put a lot of pressure on your offense to try and score and make up for the goals that they just got scored against on them. Give your more athletic and better players stints in the goal. You know, find a workable situation that helps your team. So a short and sweet episode. I had a longer one on the state of college sports, COVID, how the football schools and the NCAA were sacrificing a lot this year to keep the facade of the student athlete up for their football programs, and those effects that it has on other sports like men's water polo. Sadly, Stanford already cut 11 sports this year. Now, I'm worried about men's water polo and how it could be on the chopping block for some of these other schools. Even in normal years, some of the programs have been cut, but to only be rescued by the last minute by some strong fundraising efforts. The most recent example that comes to mind is UC Davis and the then coach Steve Doten finding money kind of that last hour to keep the program alive. Maybe I'll still make that episode, but it was getting long and I was already behind my 2-week spacing for a new episode. I think it's been about a month. So I'll keep in the back burner. I'll try to get some more episodes up here before the baby is born, more water polo focused, more goalie focused. But before I go, please do me a favor and leave me a rating and review in your favorite podcast player. You know, it helps me out. And remember, in the show description, there is a link to leave me an audio recording of your question that you want answered. My email is in there too. So if you just want to send me your question through the email, you have the means to do that. And I'll see you next time.